says exactly the way I feel. And I pray that God would touch us again. We need His touch. We need His help. We need His power. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 4, verse 27. I know those of you that are in Justin's class, every time I go to Acts, you say, oh no, not again. He pretty much had that covered. I'm a little scared to teach out of there now because I'm not sure how he taught it and if I'd teach it the same way, but we're not going to deal with anything today that I believe would cross over. So if you have your Bibles, Acts chapter number 4, begin reading verse number 27 in just a moment. Most people in the United States, I believe, whether they be Republican, Democrat, or independent, would all have to say in some way that they liked and respected President Ronald Reagan. He was a man that spoke with wit and charm. He's a man that could say things and make you understand it, and even make his enemies or people against him maybe come to the point of turning away. And so again, or turning back to doing the things that need to be done. But again, one day he made a statement concerning America and her relationship with God. And here's what he said. He said, America was founded by people who believed that God was their rock of safety. I recognize we must be cautious in claiming that God is on our side. But I think it's all right to keep asking if we're on His side. Ronald Reagan, the 40th president of the United States, gave us something to think about. Think of the difference it makes when we choose to be on God's side. And again, I want to see in the message in a moment something that I believe will help you to understand that as we come to this point, that there's times when we wonder if God, well, I don't know, I'm getting confused with my words, I guess, but I'll just get to it in a minute, okay? But there's times with the question he asked, somebody might say this, I recognize we must be cautious in claiming that God's on our side. David may have a side and I may have a side. We're both saved, we're both Christians. God may decide to answer his prayer over my prayer. And simply meaning that we need to always be sure we're on God's side, but basically you got to understand every time God answers prayer, it's not necessarily going to be what we prayed or what we desired because there's other people that are involved. I think I've said enough. I'm going to move on. I still got something to prove that point in just a minute. This is an exciting passage of Scripture. I want to read it to you. Beginning verse number 26. I put 27, but let me read verse 26. The Bible said, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Now notice the change. We come to verse 29. He talks about the prayer of them, of the people. And now, Lord, behold their threatens. Grant unto thy servants that with all thy boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We do thank you for the opportunity and the privilege that we have to come together. Lord, today I pray that you would guide and direct and give us wisdom, strength, and help. I pray today that your name would be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And Lord, today as we take this Old Testament, or this New Testament passage of Scripture, I pray that you'd help me to explain it in a way that we could apply it to the things that's going on around about us today. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your will and way in all that we do. And we'll thank you now for what you do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture is an exciting Scripture and really ought to help us in deciding to serve the Lord Jesus Christ because it gives to us the revelation that God does answer prayer. I tell you today, if I did not believe in prayer, I don't know what I would have to believe in. I don't know what hope I would have, and I'm grateful for that. But I want you to think with me through the text today and see what God does for people in the time of peril. Now, today we see that he's coming before the church, and they're telling the apostles basically that they can no longer preach. They were not supposed to spread the word of God and give the word of God. But yet, they were threatened, but they continued to do what God called them to do. And in spite of that, we see God's hand of protection. We see God's answer to prayer. We see God working in their life to give them what they need. Friend, I want to remind you today, if God loved us enough to send His Son to die for us, surely He loves us enough to defend us and take care of us and to meet every need that we have in our life. And I pray today that by the time we get through with the message, that we'll have, I started to name the message, Reason That God Is the Hope of America. Then I thought, I said, really, there's only really one reason why God is the hope of America, and that's because He's God. But the truth of it is, I have several reasons today that I want to share with you, and I believe they'll relate to the passage of Scripture, and I hope they'll be a blessing and encouragement to you. And so I want to begin, first of all, with the fact that the reason that God, one of the reasons that God is the hope of America, is because God does answer prayer. I want you to know today, all incredible things that happened in the above passage resulted in God answering prayer. They had cried out in verse number 29, "Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word." And then it goes on down to see where they do, that God empowers them, God enables them. And I want you to know today, prayer is the most important thing that we can do. I believe we ought to be faithful to church. I believe we ought to be faithful to soul winning. I believe we ought to be faithful to teaching our families and raising them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But friend, if we fail to pray, we fail to do what God has asked us to do in order to give us the answers that we need in our life. Remember, much prayer is much power. Little prayer is little power. And friend, today somebody said, well, I don't have as much power as so-and-so does, or I don't have as much power as that guy does. Listen today, all of us, I believe with all my heart, has the same power available to every one of us if we put our faith and trust in God, believe Him, and pray for His will to be done. A man by the name of Dutch Sheets taught in a book on the intercessory prayer that there's things that God does for us that He would not have done had we not prayed. Have you thought about it? In the book of James, you know what he said? He said, "We have not because we ask not." And tonight, or this morning, I think about how we go through life. We're going through circumstances, COVID, the riots, the statues, things being torn apart, our nation literally being destroyed before our eyes. And friend, if there's ever anything that ought to do more to us, is to drive us back to our knees and on our face before God Almighty, praying for His power and for His strength and for God to lead us in the way that we could go. I don't think anybody could have any kind of read their Bible or do anything without understanding that God wants us to have a relationship with Him. And the way we have a relationship with Him is to pray, to seek His face, to turn to Him, to cry out to Him and ask Him for His guidance and direction. The second reason, or one of the other reasons, I don't want to particular out, but these are some reasons. Listen to this one. God does what He wants to do. God does what He wants to do. Now, that ought to be all right with us if we trust God, right? Somebody said, why is He allowing all this? I don't know, but I guarantee you He has a purpose and a reason, and there's understanding behind it all. He's a sovereign Lord. He's a sovereign Creator. The early church prayed knowing that their prayers did not violate God's sovereignty. That's why when we pray for God's will to be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus prayed the same way. He's still God. He's going to always be God, and there's never going to be a replacement for God. And you can understand that God is the only one today that can meet our needs if we cry out to Him. This is the tension between prayer and sovereignty, and this is where I wanted to go. We ask, but God is not bound to our prayers. God is not bound to our prayers. God has oftentimes not answered my prayer the way that I desired for Him to answer. But friend, He's not bound to. And He's still going to be my God whether He does or don't. And I'm still going to trust Him whether He does or don't. Although it may have some hurt, it may have some pain. But in all reality, it'll be to help us down the road as we go through life. The good news is, thank God, because He sees what we don't, and He knows what we don't, and He'll move in our best interest. I remember years ago, Tricia, I asked you to sing that song, The Shepherd's Point of View. Hadn't heard it in a long time, but it was a great song, and it was about the shepherd being up on the mountainside, and he could look down over the sheep, and he could see what was going on. Sometime down here, we're in the midst of all the other sheep. We're in the midst of all the other turmoil. We don't understand, but from God's standpoint, He sees it all and He understands it all. Our prayers do make a difference. And our faith in God's sovereignty only increases our confidence in God. Because I've seen God work time and time again. But I'm going to tell you something. The absence of prayer will cause delays and it'll cause danger in our life. And friend, if there's ever a time, if somebody said, I don't know what we can do. I know what we can do. We can pray like we've never prayed before. We need to understand today that God never gets pinned in a corner by man. There's times in our nation where our president saw this at work. President Lincoln, during the Civil War, saw the sovereign hand of God at work. Now, I'm going to read a short story here. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to have to leave some of it out. But I'd never seen things quite like I saw it until I read this. Today, I'm a Christian. I want God to answer me right now. I want God to answer me my way. Now, that's just the human part of me. I'm not demanding that. I would never do that. I would pray for God's will to be done. But my wants and your wants would be, God, answer my prayer the way I prayed it, okay? And if you would, hurry up. I'd like for you to do it soon. But I want to read this story. During the Civil War, well, let me just read it because I'll get some. The Civil War produced more deaths of Americans, almost 500,000, than any war before or since. With Americans dying on both sides, the war taxed everyone's ability to understand what God was doing. Now, think about that. I'll get through in a minute, but everybody was wondering what He was doing. This was no holy war. It was no holy war against the pagan infidels. This was a war that turned brother against brother, father against father, sons against fathers, and Christians against Christians. Now, this was a God-forsaken war, it seemed, if there ever was one, but yet Lincoln saw it as God using this war to set straight the course of history in America. Both parties despised the war. Both parties hated what they were doing. They did not want to kill sometimes brothers and people akin to them. It was the North against the South. Yet Lincoln proclaimed in his second inaugural address, but one of them would make war rather than let the nation survive. And the other one would accept war rather than let it perish. So you got two very stubborn sides. They were not going to give in. And the war came. Neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of the conflict might cease with or even before the conflict itself would cease. Each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both sides had people that read the Bible. Both sides had people that prayed to the same God. And each other invokes His aid against the other. The prayers of both could not be answered. God couldn't answer both sides' prayers. There was a way that he had to do what was best. That's the sovereignty of God. The Almighty has His own purpose. That's what Abraham Lincoln said. And he went on to say, fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of war may speedily pass away. Yet, if God wills that it continue, until all the wealth piled by the bondman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with a lash shall be paid with another drawn with the sword, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That was Abraham Lincoln. I know that was kind of a different story, but I hope you understand what I was saying. You see what I'm saying? There's other Christians that pray different than we do. Some that may even pray in whatever. But the truth of it is today, somebody said, man, God's got to straighten America out. God doesn't have to straighten America out. God may think it best that we get straightened out the way that He chooses first to be get straightened out. It might be some heartache. It might be some horrors. It might be some things. But seriously, what I want you to understand today is God's going to do what He wants to do. You know why? Because He knows what's best for our life. Let me move quickly. I've got several points. Thirdly, God honors His Word. God honors His Word. The early church prayed the Word of God that was relevant to their situation. Believers should seize the promises relevant to our nation's crisis. Listen to the words of one of our former presidents, Woodrow Wilson, the 28th president of the United States. There are a good many problems before the American people today and before me as president, but I expect to find the solution to those problems just in the proportion that I am in study of the Word of God. I'm grateful today that we had some presidents, we had some men that stood in time past and they recognized the importance of the Word of God. Friend, no matter what happens in these days, we've got to cling to, we've got to hold to, we got to stand fast in the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the Word of my God shall stand forever. Our hope today is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and our hope today rests in the words of Him as He's given it according to the Word of God, that we can have hope in what He says. I would think today, and again, I understand we're still going through the pandemic, and there's people that are unable to be here and all of that, but friend, when it's over. I'm telling you, when it's over, people ought to be driven back to church like you've never seen before. People ought to come from all the cracks and the corners of the world in order that they might come to the house of God to honor God's Word. The next truth today is the reason that God is the hope of America is because God rules the rulers of the earth. There's not a single man in power that God does not control. Whether it be Putin, or whether it be, what's his name, Kim, or whatever, North Korea guy, or whether it be President Trump, or whether it be Vice President Pence, or whether it be our Congress, well, I'll just stop there because it's everybody. The truth of it is, Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. And I'm going to tell you something. For years, this nation has been one nation under God. We find in Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will. 1 Samuel 13:13, He said, "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the commandment the Lord your God gave you. If you had, He would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." Listen to America's founding president who understood the heart of God. Here's what he said. George Washington, the very first president of the United States. He said, "Direct my thoughts, words, and work. Wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb. And purge my heart by the Holy Spirit. Daily frame me more and more into Thy likeness like the Son Jesus Christ." First President of the United States. I tell you, do well today if we had all of our leaders that believed in God in such a way. What's happening is what was happening to them in Acts. They were rising up against them, and they're rising up against us today. They want our voice silenced. They want our churches closed. They want a socialistic, communistic, whatever. They want another society where we lose our freedoms and choices. But friend, remember, they're in the hand of God. And they can't do anything that God does not allow them to do. George Bush, 41st president. He said, "The Lord our God be with us, as He was with our fathers. May He not leave us nor forsake us, so that He may incline our hearts to Him, to walk in all His ways, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is none other." You may disagree with some of these men. I don't always agree with George Bush, 41st, or his son afterwards. But that's what I'm talking about. Everybody, there may be people that know God but don't think like we do. But yet, he sure thinks like I do when he made that statement. Harry S. Truman, the 33rd United States president. We can all pray. We all should pray. We should ask for courage, for wisdom, for quietness of the soul which comes along in them who place their lives in his hands. Friend, I'm simply saying today, God is in control. Where do we go from here? We just have to pray. We have to seek God's face. We have to ask for God's intervention. And again, we must pray God's will be done. And it may not be the answer that we want. It may not be what we expect. But again, remember, God is going to always, always, always do what is right in our life. I like this. Fifth reason, God confuses the plans of the enemy. Now, the early church, I mentioned, go back to verse 29, they prayed and said, Lord, behold their threatenings. But I want to give you some illustrations of how the Lord can take their plans and make something good about it. The cross was the ultimate upstaging of Satan's plans. If you remember, Satan was out to destroy the Lord Jesus, and he wanted to make sure he was killed, and he worked through everybody he could, and possibly, and so man, that was a happy day. That was a happy day when they nailed Jesus to the cross. The enemies, devil and his crowd, they were happy the day they nailed Jesus to the cross. But you know, even though it was a sad day for us, and our hearts are broken to see what Jesus suffered in order that we might have salvation, it breaks our heart. That was really a happy day for us, because it's only because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary that we have freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're saved by the grace of God and on our way to heaven. So again, the Lord takes something that seemingly is some way to trip us up or make us fall, and he turns it into something that literally will save whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord and put their faith and trust in him. You remember in Israel, he caused the enemy to turn on him, on themselves. Gideon with the clay pots. You remember when they were coming after him, Gideon didn't have much of an army. And God said, you go out and get on the mountain, y'all spread out, and you get you a pot, and you put your candle in it. And he said, when I tell you what to do, and he gave them, they were to break their jars. And again, all the light. And Israel, the enemies that had come up against them, they turned and ran and actually tried to get out of there because they thought there was a whole host that was there amongst them. We think of David, little David. There's nobody that don't go to Sunday school that don't hear about David and the rock and the sling. Well, I tell you today, that story's probably been told more times than you could ever imagine. And even people that hardly ever went to church could probably tell you about David and the sling. Although, I have had some at YDC in different places that had never heard the story. And that's sad. But I believe today that everybody's heard that story. Here's David. Here's David, a little fella. He couldn't even get enough armor on he couldn't even stand the weight of the armor to go out and face the giant. His brothers laughed at him. They all made fun of him. They said, man, you're crazy. They were all scared. They were cowards. He said, I don't go in my name, but I go in the name of the Lord. And he said, don't give me the armor. You just give me my rock and my sling. And I tell you, he took the sling and he slung it, and the rock came. It didn't get there because he placed it right. He got there because God took it and placed it in the forehead of the giant, and the giant fell down. And David, and they were victorious over that. God took something that literally could have destroyed them and turned it into something that was good. Lord sends the sound of the multitude of horses and chariots to drive away Israel's enemy. I'm simply saying today, God knows, and often he'll reveal what the enemy is up to. You remember when the Lord showed Elijah what the king was thinking in his chambers. Listen, it's amazing to me the revelations that God revealed to his people in order that they might overcome the trials or things that they would face in their life. Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar what he dreamed. We find the reason he did that is because God revealed it to Daniel. God revealed it to Joseph. If you remember how God took Joseph, and Joseph went through all those bad things. I'm simply saying today, God confuses the plans of the enemy. I don't know what's going on in our society today, but it's not in my hands. It's only in God's hands, and it's in my hands to pray, to seek God's face, to trust God that whatever happens, come what may, it's going to be God's will, it's going to be for our good, and we're going to see the blessing that will result from it in the future. Sixthly, God provides protection for us. He answered, the Bible said in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Let me just read that again. Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. I don't know about you, but if I'm fighting a battle, I want more on my side, don't you? But you know, more ain't always qualified by the number of people you have. If you got God on your side, you've got a huge favor. But our nation's history is filled with remarkable stories of how the impossible has become the possible. I've seen literally things happen in people's lives. I've seen God heal people that literally had cancer. I know He doesn't always do it. It's our wish that He would, and we pray for our loved ones. But I've seen God take people that told them. I've talked to people constantly that tell me, they said, "No, the doctor gave me 2 years ago. He gave me 2 years to live." How long has that been? Oh, that was 12, 15 years ago. You see, that's God. That's only God. And God can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He protects us. I've seen people look at automobiles, accidents. I've seen people look at those accidents and the car would be twisted and mangled and torn in all the pieces. And people would say this. They'd say, "Man, there's no way anybody survived that accident. There's no way they come out of that." Only to find out that they got away without a scratch. You can see a car that was in an accident and have just a few little dents on it. You say, "Well, that's not too bad. That was just a fender bender." Only to learn that the people that was in it got killed. You see what I'm saying? I'm saying God is going to protect us the way that He sees protecting us. And sometimes His ways of protecting us is taking us on to heaven. Sometimes His ways of protecting us is getting us out of this world in order that we can get to the place where we can sit around the throne of God and worship Him and praise Him for all that He's done for us. For you see, there's none of us good. We're all not worthy of what He's done for us. But I simply say, God will protect me. Again, don't misunderstand me. I believe in precaution. I believe we're going through this pandemic, and I believe we need to take precaution. I believe we need to take it seriously. But I tell you again, I believe this with all my heart. My life is in the hands of God. Not to be foolish. Not to be foolish. But to just trust God that I'm not going to go until it's my time to go. Somebody said, "Well, I don't know about that." Well, again, I think people can do foolish things and go before God intended for you to go. But friend, in all, I believe God is going to protect us. I heard somebody the other day, something happened, and I was watching the Weather Channel, and they were showing the storm that went through a while back in Maryland. Down a street, buildings flooded, and this man and woman was in a shop, and it was just amazing how they got out of there. And she said this, she says, "God must not be through with me yet. He must still have something for me to do." But no doubt it was God that protected us and got us out and saved us for this reason and this purpose. Friend, I'm saying today, the reason that God's going to be the answer to America's hope is because He'll protect us. And let me tell you, the greatest protection is going to be when the trumpet sounds. And the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the dead in Christ shall rise first, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds with the Lord, and so shall ever be with the Lord. He said, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I appreciate Josh's granddaddy. He's been a blessing to me. He's been so faithful ever since I've known Josh. He don't call me every Saturday, but he calls me a lot of them. And he always calls and checking on me. We had a good visit yesterday over the phone. We talked about this very thing. We talked about the fact that we're in the hands of God. And literally both of us believe that we're near the coming of the Lord. We believe it could be at any moment. We believe it could be in the twinkling of an eye. And we ought to be praying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Friend, I remind you today that it's God that confuses the plans of the enemy. And whatever's transpiring, don't forget what God's plan for the future. They will not delay God's plans. They will not foil God's plans. His plans will be carried out. They'll be put in the place they need to be. Number seven, God, listen to this, God responds to obedience. God responds to obedience. Enable us to speak your word boldly. They said in verse 29, "Behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." The problem they were experiencing there was they being told to hush. And they said, Lord, help us. Among their threatening, help us to be bold. I tell you, we live in a day where we need to be bold as Christians. I think, again, we got to be careful in our society. But understand, God wants people that are obedient to Him. You see, the early church knew their charge. They knew their mandate. God had already told them in Acts chapter 1, He said, and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. They were going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were going to be filled with the Word of God. And friend, when do we stop doing that? We've not been told to stop. We're to continue doing what God told us to do. He told us to pray and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the mandate for the church still is the same today. We've got to get back to worshiping God. I'm not surprised by what's taking place in America, because America in the last few years has turned their back on God. Churches are turning their back on God and going away from the very things that we've been taught and should stand for all these years. They're turning their back, walking away from the very thing that God called us to. Early in my ministry, man, I tell you, it was so wonderful. It was nothing to see sometime two and three, maybe four people saved every Sunday. It was nothing to see buses filled with boys and girls coming to church. It was nothing to see churches filled to capacity. But friend, we've got so comfortable. And by the way, I say this. They're talking about all those people that crowded the beaches. Now, to me, that's really crazy. I mean, they're showing about the thousands. And all they're doing is that's why the spike. I think it's foolish to do such a thing. But friend, wouldn't you think that we have seen the hand of God enough to know that God still loves us and cares about us? And we need to be obedient to Him in everything we do. Quickly, I'm just going to give you the last point. God can birth revival out of the enemy's attacks. If we've ever been ripe for revival, it ought to be right now. In my lifetime, I believe there's ever a time people ought to be drawn back to God. Christians get on fire for God. People to start witnessing for God. Seeing people get saved and come back to the church. I believe tonight that's the hope of America, if America's to stand much longer. The persecution against the early church brought the church together. It didn't separate them. It didn't send them to other places. It brought them together in powerful prayer. It precipitated another outpouring in the early church. Tertullian, one of the early centuries, said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Did you get that? The blood of the martyrs, the people that gave their lives, are the seed of the church. And just as much as men have given their lives for the freedom of our country, there's been missionaries and people that have given their lives in order that you and I might have the freedoms that we enjoy to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. All of you know, and I'm not going to spend time on it, but Jim Elliot and Nate Saint, 1950, were martyred trying to go to the Aka Indians. They flew over, dropped things out of airplanes, trying to give them presents. They finally came to the day that they thought that they would be able to land and talk to them and get them saved. Literally, when they landed, the natives came and killed all five of them. But through the suffering, that gospel, listen to me, through their death, the gospel of Jesus Christ has spread among the Aka Indians in South America. And I have heard one of the men that was there when Saint and the rest of them was killed. He's been saved. He's been accepted into their family. They treat him as family now. He is family. He's been saved by the grace of God. But only at the sacrifice of others was he given the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Billy Graham, speaking at the National Cathedral after 9/11, said, We'll all look back and see this as the day of victory. And I tell you, we saw things come back. And I think today there was a youth revival and a healing during World War II. There were hundreds of soldiers that were saved during the Gulf War. Do you remember that? That was back about 1993. I remember we used to get pictures seeing soldiers kneeling with another soldier holding a Bible and leading them to Christ. They even dug pits, understand, to baptize some of the people that was being saved. And through the power of the risen Christ, our church, the church, can once again see the revival in our land like we've never seen before if we submit ourselves to God and do what God would have us to do. 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I'm going to tell you what's going on in America is the works of the devil. I'm talking about all the tearing down, burning, and all that. It's a work of the devil. But remember, God was given to us to be manifest for his purpose, and he will be. Whatever comes, we'll see his hand upon it. Americans need to humble ourselves, realize that it's not so much what we can do, but it's what God can do if we'll submit to him and be obedient. Friend, we got to get on fire for God again. I'm telling you, this apathy and this attitude and this, you know, we worshiping God. Friend, we need to do more than worship God. We need to serve God. And I tell you, I know we're hindered in some ways right now, but by the grace of God, may the days return to back to the day that this country was founded on the principles of the Word of God, the principles of God, and the fact today we ought to be thankful that we do have on our money in God we trust. And thank God today that we still can call upon God and sing the old Star-Spangled Banner and be proud to be an American. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, I know our country's in turmoil. I know we're experiencing things like never before. Father, you know what we need. You know what the church needs. You know what the people in the church need. We need the power and the help of God like we've never seen before. Father, I pray now that you'd intervene on our behalf. And God, today we've learned a lesson I have. When we look back at the Civil War, we understand there's Christians and that don't think like we do. Christians that have other ideas about things and Christians that would pray different than we do. And Lord, I don't know so much about whose side you're on when it comes to that because you know whether I'm right or whether they're right. But I know one thing. I want to belong to you with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Lord, as Cal sang a while ago, touch us again. Lord, empower us. Enable us to be what we need to be for your sake. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.